Amen. All right. Why don't you go ahead and open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 21 as we continue to systematically go through the Word of God. Now, chapter 21 deals with end times, okay? It deals with the tribulation, within the tribulation period before the second coming of Christ. So we are going to park on some of these issues here. I'm not going to get too crazy about it, but do the best I can. Give you some statistics on the current events. But every one of us, how many of you watch the news? Every day something else is happening. Every day. And I'm talking every sin in this world that Jesus died for is happening on the news. And it's getting worse as I read the headlines and from different Newsmax, Epic Times, Blaze. You know, you read all these different correspondents, news, you see some pretty perverted, demonic, evil things that are happening, and a lot of it's happening to children. That's the ones I can't watch. That's the ones I can't hear because I really, every time I hear something terrible happening or see something, a video happening, has to do with little kids. The thing I comes to my mind is my grandkids, so I don't even watch it. But there's so many. We're going to look at some of these things this morning, some specific events that Jesus talked about this morning. Bear with me. And again, I don't really I could just read it, and that would be more than enough because you see it all. You're seeing it every day happening today. You see it. You hear about it. A lot of you even share it yourself, which is very great because people need to know that what's going on in this world. I've talked to the last person I talked to said, "Oh, it's going to get better. Things are going great. It's going to get better." In my mind, I'm thinking, okay, that could be for two reasons. One, you're not a Christian. Or two, you're in the world, in which they were. So that it's not going to get better. We're going to be blessed because we belong to God. I really believe that. God's going to take care of us. We have hope. Okay, guys, we have hope. No matter what's going on in this world, we have a living hope. Amen. Doesn't mean that we won't be affected by it. What it does mean, our citizenship is in heaven. So hold on to that. I want to also mention we had a prayer request for the Kelmar family. Yvonne Kelmar, her dad had dementia, very bad. And it just broke my heart yesterday Carmen texted me yesterday to say, his name was Joe. He passed away 5 minutes ago. But I just thank God that I was obedient to the Lord to go and pray for him and his wife the day before. And I went and I was able to talk to him, and he did talk to me, but he was in the same situation like Carmen's mom. And so I prayed for him, and I asked, and I encouraged his wife and told her, you know what, he's in a good position because his body's it's a tent, it's dying. His memory, he says things that doesn't make sense and everything. But when it comes to Jesus Christ, that's one thing that he says, which tells me that God is draining of himself and he's renewing the spirit within him, because the thing of God's are the things are coming out. So he did mention praise God and so on. And so I did pray with him. I prayed with his wife. And then the next day he went home to be the Lord. So if you want me to pray for you, because same thing happened to Carmen's mom. Same thing, Mark. I prayed with Mark before he went home, and then a couple hours later, he went to be with the Lord. So if you want to go to the Lord, hey, come on, I'll anoint you. All right. Pray. Lord, we do pray for the Kelmar family. Lord, thank you for receiving another saint, another man of God. And we want to pray for his wife, Lord, as that you be with her. And as she had a hard time, even though she knew that he was going to be with you and he loved you and that she will see him again. She mourns because she missed him. And so we pray that you would comfort her heart, that you would be with her, that you would bless her, Lord, bless the family, and just work it all out as a testimony of Jesus Christ, his life, as a witness. So we thank you, Lord, and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Luke chapter 21, and we're going to pick up where we left off. At verse 5, and then we'll get into verse 8. Excuse me. So look at verse 5. So remember, again, Jesus just got done sharing the parable about the widow who gave all that she had, and the rich gave out of their necessity. And as they left the temple area, and they were heading towards Mount Olives, and they were out there far enough to see the beautiful temple and everything. And then in verse 5, it says, then as some spoke of the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and donations, he said, these things which you see, the day will come in which not one stone will be left upon another that shall be thrown down. So as they asked him, saying, teacher, but when will these things be, and what will be the sign, and where they will be, will there be when these things are about to take place? So again, you remember they were just admiring the beauty of the temple, and they were trying to get Jesus' attention on the temple, but Jesus, he turned around and he took their focus off the temple and he put it back on what was to come. So he says in verse 8, look at verse 8, because this is where we left off. He said, to the answer to their question was, when will these things take place? Jesus said, take heed that you do not be deceived, for many will come in my name saying, I am he. And the time has drawn near, therefore do not go after them. Now, 2 weeks ago, we talked about how there are many back then. In fact, after Jesus was resurrected, they had many people came and claimed to be the Messiah after that. And many were saying, hey, because of the events that were happening back then, the persecution of the church and everything, they're saying, hey, Jesus is coming back at this time now. They're coming back. So many were deceived. Many today are deceived, and they're being deceived by those who come in the name of the Lord, who say they're doing and even doing the work of the Lord, or that they are God, or they are a God. But another thing I want you to watch out for, okay, and be careful yourself. I know a lot of us here, there's a lot of us who like prophecy, right? How many of you like prophecy? How many of you study it? We love to study it and compare it to what's going on today. But I just want to encourage you, be very careful, because many will come to deceive, and watch out for those who don't follow after those who'll give you a time, or they'll give you a date that the Lord will be back. That's what you have to be careful of. Those who say, I know when Jesus will be back. Be careful, because he says here, Jesus said, watch out. Now, Matthew 24, and I'm going to give you guys a lot of scripture. We're going to look at a lot of scripture. Matthew chapter 24, verse 36, and you can write it down through 44. Listen to what Jesus said, okay, in reference to those who will give you a time. This is, I know the time when Jesus is coming back. He's coming back on this day. It'd be like if I say, hey, guys, I know. He's coming back November 23rd, okay? That's my birthday. That's the best birthday present, okay? No, be careful. It says this, but of that day and hour, no one knows. Okay, that's coming from Jesus himself. So any man who will tell you, I know, are you going to listen to him or are you going to listen to Jesus? Right? He says, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man will be. So the second coming, even in the rapture itself, he says he's going to come as things are happening in the days of Noah, so it shall be when the Son of Man comes. What was going on with Noah? Well, life was very sinful, obviously, no difference than today. Life was just going on. Everybody was being about their own business. Everybody was doing what they were doing it right in their own eyes, and we see that happening today. He says, for as in the day before the flood, they were eating. How many of you are eating? Drinking, hopefully water, marrying, and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field. One will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and the other left. Watch, therefore. Okay, hear what I said? Watch. Did you hear what I said? Watch, therefore. It's okay if you can answer me, okay? You know, it makes me think that you're there, you're awake. Watch, therefore, for you do not know when that hour of your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allow his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you least expect it. And then Mark, he jumps in this in Mark chapter 13, write it down, verse 32 through 37. He said this, listen to what he says. He says, but of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, Jesus, the Son, but only the Father. And even though Jesus is the Son, okay, he knows when the Lord's going to, when the Lord says, go get him, he knows he has to go get him. But the Father, so take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. And it is like a man going into a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch, therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming. In the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, least coming suddenly, he finds you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch. He says to all of us, be watchful. You don't know when he's coming. Now, I say you live as though you do know. Live your life as a believer, as a Christian, as a brother and sister in the Lord, and as God, as Jesus would want you to, as if you knew Jesus was coming back tonight. Think about it. If you knew Jesus was coming back tonight, it's kind of like what I mentioned that question. What would you do differently? Not every one of us should say nothing, because we will be doing the same thing as we were, and that's serving the Lord. That's serving God. That's witnessing for the Lord. That's reading the Word of God. That's worshiping the Lord, fellowshipping. Amen. We should be doing that. So you don't need to do anything different. Keep doing what you're doing. If you are doing it. And so if you knew, live as though you don't, like you do know, and serve the Lord. Now I was looking for some statistics and some people who went around and they claimed to be God. They claimed to be the Messiah. They claimed to be Jesus here on earth. And there was one, and I was having a hard time finding this guy. But I did find one, and I'm going to read it to you because of the impact this guy and those who followed him. The very guy that Jesus said, hey, watch out for it. Do not follow him. They say, they are Jesus or the Messiah or God. Don't follow. Be watchful. But listen to this. I found this on the internet. It said, on this day in 1844, tens of thousands of people in Massachusetts expected the world to come to an end. They were followers of William Miller, a man who claimed to know the date of Jesus' second coming. And so they were branded, because of they followed this man and what he said, they were branded as Millerites, okay? So many Millerites, they sold their possessions to prepare for the day when Christ would return to earth. They gathered them up to heaven, and where he's going to gather them up to heaven and purify the rest of the world in an all-consuming fire. As the date approached, a great comet blazed across the Massachusetts sky, and the number of believers grew. Now, on October 22nd, the Millerites put on white robes. They climbed mountains. They climbed trees to speed their ascension to heaven, which, you know, I don't get it. You know, it's like, okay, if I knew Jesus was coming back, I'm going to go on the roof of that sixth story because I'm going to be that far ahead of you. You know, I guess they were thinking like that. Speed it up. Okay, when the prophecy failed, most of them abandoned Miller's apocalyptic teaching and returned to their original churches. Jesus said there will be many who deceive. Many will deceive that will come. There were others like Jim Jones. Remember Jim Jones? Oh, yeah. There was a Heaven's Gates. Remember Heaven's Gates? Oh, yeah. David Koresh in Waco, Texas, or Waco, Texas. And there was another one. This is the guy that I was trying to find. He actually wrote a book and gave a date on when Jesus was going to come back. And when that didn't happen, what he did is he just revised and he changed the date. Who was it? It might be. I can't remember his name. I think it is. Okay. Look at verse 8. He said, "Take heed that no one deceive you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am he, and the time has drawn near. Therefore, do not go after them." Now, write down John chapter 6, verse 66 through 69. And I read this last week. This is where Jesus was teaching his disciples. He said, "Hey, I'm the bread of life that comes down from heaven. And whoever eats this bread will not go hungry anymore." Well, a lot of them were confused by what he said and didn't like what he said. So many of them just turned away and walked away from Jesus. And then in verse 66, it said, "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, Do you also want to go away? But Simon Peter answered him, said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And also we have come to believe and to know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Why would anybody want to worship anything or anybody from Jesus? Jesus, he has the words of eternal life. He died for our sins. Why would anybody think that there's someone greater than him? You know what? The Bible might be revised. What Jesus did on the cross will never be revised. There's not one person that can say, "Oh, I'm going to revise the cross. I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do it greater." I guarantee you, after the third whipping, you'll probably die, you know? Or even before they came, you saw that. If you said, "Okay, I'm going to go ahead and whip me," and they came with the cat of nine tails and that whip, I guarantee you said, "No, I changed my mind. Forget it. Jesus dying on the cross will never be revised. Look what he says in verse 9. Then he goes on, he says, "But when you hear of wars and commotions," that word commotions means, listen to what it means. It means uproars. We hear about that. We see it in our country a lot. Riots, we see it happening. Terrorism, we see it happening. Insurrections, treasons, confusions of government. Isn't that what we're seeing on the news today? He says what? Do not be terrified. Look at that. Repeat it. Everybody follow after me. Right here. Do not be terrified. In other words, don't let them, when they happen, trouble your hearts, because as a believer, as a follower of Jesus Christ, you know, my heart and my life is centered upon God. It's not centered upon, I don't determine my worship of God on these wars and commotion, these events that are happening. I'm trusting in God. I'm trusting in his presence. I'm trusting that he's going to take care of me, that he's going to care for me. And besides, we have eternal life. Isn't that what Jesus said in John 14:1? He said this, Who's sharp? Does anybody know what John 14:1 says without looking? Yep. Our theorsis here. Theorsis, concordance. On the October 31st, I'm going to make a costume. It's going to be a big concordance. And I want you to put it on and walk around. And then they're going to be able to turn the pages. Okay. You're right. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. If you believe in God, believe in Jesus. Why? He said, for these things must come to pass first. But the end will not come immediately. You hear what I said now? Okay, listen. It says these things must come to pass first. What things? Well, wars and rumors of wars, commotion as we continue. He says, but the end will not come immediately. Look at verse 10. And then he said, nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there'll be great earthquakes in various places. There'll be famines and pestilence, and there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. So, guys, these three verses here, they have been going on since the time that Jesus walked the earth. Okay? They've been going on. And even before he came the first time, nation was against nation. That has been taking place from the very beginning of man. And if you want to, I was thinking about this, so I wanted to look at where did it all start? Well, here's where it all started, okay? It started with Adam and Eve when they fell in the garden. That's where it started. That's when sin entered into the world. Is when they fell for their disobedience, that's where everything came from. And then, you want to know what the first war was? The first war is when Cain killed his brother Abel. That was the very first murder. That's where it started. And then Noah, Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 through 8. Listen to what it says. It says, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thought of his heart was only evil continuously. And the Lord was sorry that he made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man who I've created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things, birds of the air. For I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You know, Noah's a good picture of us. We have the grace of God and what's going on in this world. So God will take care of us. But right now in the Middle East, you know that all this hostility that's going on between the Arabs and the Palestinians, you know, the Palestinians against the Jews, and how there's so much hatred for the Jews right now. You know that can be traced back to almost 4,000 years ago. The hatred for Israel in the Middle East, it came about when God made an unconditional covenant with Abraham. That's when God said, I'm going to bless you, Abraham, with this promised land for all your descendants, but he would have to follow after God. And that's where it all started. Now listen, I want you to write these scriptures down, because it started when there was a conflict between Sarah and Hagar. Genesis chapter 16, Genesis chapter 21. You can read it yourself. I'm not going to go through it. And then between their sons, between Isaac, Sarah's son, and Ishmael, Hagar's son. That's where it started. In Genesis chapter 16 through 17 and Genesis chapter 21 also. And then from Isaac's twin boys, between Jacob and Esau in Genesis 25. And 28 through 28, Genesis 32 through 33. And between the Israelites against the Moabites, against the Ammonites, and that's found in Numbers chapter 22 through 25, Judges chapter 3, Judges chapter 10 through 11, 2 Kings chapter 3 and chapter and 2 Corinthians chapter 20. We just talked about that, the war between Jehoshaphat. It was between the Hebrews and the Amalekites, Numbers chapter 14, Judges chapter 3. And it's over the promised land, the land that God promised to give Abraham and his descendants that would be as many as the stars. Did you know that the promised land, and I'm sure you guys do know this, the promised land is not just that little piece of Israel. That's not the promised land. I used to thought, okay, Israel, that's a tiny little piece of land. Did you know that the promised land that God gave me, it goes into Turkey, it goes into Egypt, it goes into Saudi Arabia, it goes into Iraq, and Jordan, Damascus, Syria, all Baghdad, all that area is actually the promised land that God said he would give to his children. That's why they have conflict over there. Matthew chapter 24, verse 6. Listen to what Matthew says in regards to wars and rumors. He says, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Okay? And what we see happening around the world, it tells us that nations against nations and wars and rumors of wars, we can see how they are happening more frequently. You notice that? And all at once, at the same time. That's the key to the end of the age, guys. That's the key to the second coming of the Lord. They are not a specific sign of his coming, because if it was, he would already came. Okay? It's not like, oh, war, another rumor, Jesus is coming. Yes, he's coming. But it's not going to, he's okay, it's not one specific sign. We know the times, we know the seasons, and when they happen, the time is near. But that time is near because of all these events, the time is near, but these events are coming, and they're happening more than ever before. Birth pains, and we're going to look at that. Now, Matthew 24, verse 6 through 8, listen what Matthew says. Again, I'm going to read it again. And you will hear of wars and rumor of wars. But here's the part, verse 8. Listen, all these are the beginning of sorrows. Okay? That's the New King James Bible. Listen to verse 8 in other translations. The NIV says this, all these are the beginning of birth pains. Like Keith said. The Living Translation, listen to what it says. But all these will be only the beginning of the horrors to come. Listen to what the American Standard Bible says. But all these things are the beginning of travail. Listen to what the Amplified Bible says. All these is but the beginning of the early pains, of the birth pains, of the intolerable anguish. How many of you ladies have had children? How many of you men had children? Okay, just testing, make sure. Oh, Matt, you had twins, okay. I don't know what it's like to have a baby, but I've witnessed it, I've seen it, I heard it, and I'll never forget the day that Lupe's daughter, Adriana, had her child. I was at the hospital. When she was giving birth, I waited out there. I'm going to wait outside. So I waited outside. Next to her, there was another couple, and this woman was giving birth, and she was, and she was calling this guy every name in the book. Ah, and then she would, as I can tell, the contractions were coming down because she was going, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And then when she had another contraction, she was just railing on him. I'm sorry, I'm sorry, and I'm sorry. And I could tell every time she had a contraction and when she was coming down because she was sorry. And I'm like, oh, man, wow. Listen to the Bible in basic English. But all these things are the first of the troubles. Listen to God's word. To the Nation Bible Society. All these things are the beginning of pains of the end. The New Century Bible. These things are like the first pains when something new is about to be born. Listen from the Pastor Steve Bible. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Right? Guys, this is just the beginning. I like mine, right? But we have seen, and we are seeing now, many conflicts of today. There's a lot of conflicts that are happening, and most of you probably don't even know about it. Listen to it. I went online, got some statistics. I'm giving them to you so that you know. We hear about these big ones, but there's a lot of tiny ones going on. The Geneva Academy, they did a statistics on what's going on with wars and rumors of wars. Listen to what they say. In the Middle East and North Africa, there's more than 45 armed conflicts that are taking place right now. Did you know that? Africa, in the Middle East and North Africa, we're talking about Cyprus, Egypt, Iraq, Israel, Libya, Morocco, Palestine, Syria, Turkey, Yemen, and Western Sierra. That's all happening in the Middle East and North Africa. In Africa itself, there's more than 35 armed conflicts. Listen to where they're at. Africa comes in second place in the number of armed conflicts. And more than 35 non-international armed conflicts. These are the conflicts that we don't hear about that are happening, the civil wars that are going on and everything. But they're taking place in Burkina Faso, which, okay, I did the best I could. Cameroon, Central Africa Republic, the Democratic Republic of Congo, Ethiopia, Mali, Mozambique, Nigeria, Senegal, Somalia, South Sudan, and Sudan. And these armed groups are fighting against the government forces and against each other. Asia, there's 21 armed conflicts going on. 19 non-international armed conflicts involving 19 armed groups. And these are happening in Afghanistan, India, Myanmar, right up there, okay? Myanmar, Pakistan, and in the Philippines. And then we got Europe. Europe, there's 7 armed conflicts, but we see the what's going on with Russia and the Ukraine conflict. Look what's happening there, right? We see that. You got Latin America. For you Latins, okay? 6 armed conflicts. 6 non-international armed conflicts that are taking place in the regions. They're split between Mexico and Colombia. And they're between the gangs and the drug cartels. So we have conflicts and we have threats going on right now between China. Look what China's doing. They're making themselves known out there in international waters. We have their balloons coming over our country. We have them buying out all kinds of property and facilities here in the U.S. But it's happening. We have the conflict between U.S. and the Iran conflict. Iran just recently killed several of our servicemen. And in retaliation, we did a lot of bombing over there. North and South Korea are gearing up for war. Japan is being confronted by China. But you know what the biggest conflict that's been going on before time and is still big today? Do you? What? It's the war between good and evil. Amen. Satan in the church. And that's more violent because it involves souls. It involves lives. It involves heaven and hell. And the whole world is involved. The whole world is involved. Every one of us is involved in this conflict. Whether you want to or not, you are involved in this conflict. You can't escape it. You can't avoid it. You can't run from it. It's happening right across from us. Our place of worship is happening right across, right there in the North Park Theater. And you know what? All these wars and rumors of wars and all this conflict, small conflict that's happening, you know what? We all will be affected by the chaos that is happening. We're all going to be affected by it. Look what he says in verse 10. He said to him, nation will rise against nation and kingdom and against kingdom. There's going to be great earthquakes in various places. Well, let's talk about that. Earthquakes, which we are seeing more frequently and more intense as well. They're happening. And they're happening in places that you wouldn't expect them to happen. The earthquakes that are happening right now, they're killing thousands in just one event. Ones that have gotten the attention of the whole world. They're happening. But earthquakes have been happening from the beginning of mankind again. But we know they are happening all the time, and they're getting more intense as the end of the age gets closer. Have you noticed that? Listen to these statistics. Now, I forgot to write the name of the organization that wrote this statistic. I forgot to put it. I lost it. But listen, it could be. I don't know. But I'll just call you next time. Seriously, I will. Okay. Listen to this. 116 earthquakes in the past 24 hours. 980 earthquakes in the past 7 days. 3,913 earthquakes in the past 30 days. Now, I got these statistics last week because I was going to share it for communion. 51,450 earthquakes in the past 365 days. Then they give you the 10 biggest biggest earthquakes. January 26th, we had a 6.1 in Guatemala. January 22nd, a 7.0 in China. January 1st, it was a 7.5 in Japan. February 6th, 2023, there was a 7.8 in Turkey. You remember that one? Thousands, like 50, over 50,000 died. Did you know that California experiences more than 100 earthquakes per day? Right now, as I speak, we're having an earthquake. They're just very small in magnitude. You can't feel it. But they're happening more frequently. They're happening. But you know what the biggest earthquake ever? It's going to happen during the Great Tribulation period. And I thank God that I won't be here to experience it. Listen to what's going to happen. Revelation chapter 6, verse 17 through 19. It says, "Then the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, 'It is done.' And there were noises and thunderings and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such a mighty and great earthquake as had never occurred since man was on the earth. Now that great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell." I'm talking about the final judgment. God is going to shake the earth with the biggest, tremendous earthquake ever that the earth has ever seen. And it's even written in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25 through 29. Listen to what the writer says. He says, "So see to it that you obey him who speaks to you." Let me ask you this. Are you getting spoken to this morning? Yes. Then obey him who's speaking to you through Scripture. Not me, obviously. I can barely speak good English, barely speak good Spanish. So listen to what he says. "Obey him who is speaking to you. For if the people of Israel did not escape when they refused to listen to Moses, the earthly messenger, how terrible our danger if we refuse to listen to God who speaks to us from heaven. When he spoke from Mount Sinai, his voice shook the earth. But next time," hear that? "But next time," he says, "I will not only shake the earth, but the heavens too." By this, he means that he will sift out everything without solid foundations so that only unshakable things will be left. And since we have a kingdom nothing can destroy, let us please God by serving him with thankful hearts and with holy fear and with awe. For our God is a consuming fire. You want to be around for that? For that earthquake that's going to come? Who wants to be around for that one? No, we don't have to be. If we have Jesus Christ in our hearts, if we have him in our lives, we will not be around for that. Amen. Nothing's going to stand when this earthquake comes during the Great Tribulation period. And I thank God that I'm going to be in heaven. I'm speaking for myself because we all have to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. And I hope you can say the same thing, which I know you can. You don't want to be around for that earthquake. Earthquakes are my kryptonite. I'm a girly man when it comes to earthquakes. If there's an earthquake, you call here, and they're going to say, how's Pastor Steve? They're going to wait, let me go see. They're going to find me underneath a desk or faint somewhere. Faint, you know. I can't handle earthquakes. I'd rather have tornadoes. Like that tornado warning, I'm like, huh? Tornado, really? Okay. You know. Look at verse 10. Jesus said, nation will rise against nation, kingdoms against kingdom, and there's going to be great earthquakes in various places, different places. There's going to be famines and pestilence, and there are going to be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. Famines. Let's talk about famines. Did you guys know that food is one of the most basic necessities of life, right? Yeah. Right. And without food, what happens? You die. Bottom line, you die. Jesus said that in the last days, right before Jerusalem falls and right before the end of age, there's going to be a terrible famine. Acts chapter 11 speaks of it. This great famine throughout the whole world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. And Jehoshaphat, that great historian, theologian, he described the famine. Listen to what he says. He said that this famine is so great and terrible that when flour was brought into the temple, not one of the priests was so hardly as to eat one crumb of it, while so great a distress was upon the land. And he said a famine did oppress them, which was Jerusalem, and many people died for want of what was necessary to procure food. He says that in the very last day before Jerusalem's fall, he said another terrible famine took place. It was now a miserable case, and the sight that would justly bring tears into our eyes, how men stood to their food while the more powerful had enough, more than enough, and the weaker were lamenting for want of it. He said, then did the famine widen its progress, and it devoured the people by whole houses and families. The upper rooms were filled of women and children that were dying by famine. And the lanes of the city were full of the dead bodies of the aged, the children, and also the young men wandering about the marketplaces like shadows, all swelled with famine, and fell down dead. Whosoever the misery seized them. And that was Jehoshaphat. That happened when Jerusalem before Jerusalem fell. Now listen, the general consensus is that people can survive around 3 days without water. Okay, try it and see if it's right. No, don't try it. Okay, 3 days without water, and with estimate ranging from 2 days to a week. And this is determined on your environmental conditions, your activity level, your age, your health, your weight, your sex, your food intake. Now, how many of you like hiking? If you ever go hiking, you can get a wilderness guide. It gives you, you can like a diary, and it has all these ideas and things to look out for and where you can go hiking. Well, the wilderness guides often refer to the rule of three. This is in the guides. Listen to what they say, which says that a person can live for 3 minutes without air, without oxygen, 3 days without water, 3 minutes, okay, 3 days without water, and 3 weeks without food. The 10 biggest famines that are going on right now. Did you know that there's famines going on right now, right? I'm sure you know there's some areas. Here they are. The Democratic Republic of Congo. The number of people who are facing hunger are 26 million. The reason why is because of the conflict and the displacement that's going on in that area. Afghanistan. We're talking 19.9 million are affected. The reason, 4 decades of conflict. Yemen, 17 million people. The reason, civil war. Syria, 12 million. The reason, civil war. The Sahel in Africa, we're talking 13 million. The reason, armed conflict and climate extremes. South Sudan, We're talking 7.7 million. The reason? Civil war and historical flooding. Sudan, 15.8 million. The reason is because of the conflict and the violence between communities. Floods and inflation. Somalia, 6 million. The reason? Because of drought, civil war, and the raising of food prices. Northern Ethiopia, 5.5 million. The reason? Armed conflict. And then Haiti, 4.7 million. The reason is because of political unrest, because of gang violence, and extreme weather events. And you know, I think about that, all these people. And how many times have the U.S. have brought food and help to some of these areas, and then the drug lords went in there and confiscated everything that we brought and didn't even give to the people. It's sad. And this is our physical drought. But then I think about, what about spiritually? How many of us are facing spiritual hunger because we don't feed on the Word of God, or the many reasons that we are that's keeping us from feeding on God's Word, from fellowshipping, from worshiping, praying, serving the Lord? Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 1. And this is very encouraging, okay? He says that when he saw the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. And then he opened his mouth and he taught them, saying this: "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And blessed are those who persecute for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." It's called the Beatitudes. And nowhere in history will you find someone who has spoken just a few words like Jesus here, but are filled with so much meaning. I mean, these words from Jesus, from our Lord, are so powerful, and it's a really a great description of the life of a true disciple and a believer of God. This is, he's talking to us. You know what the word blessed mean? I know you do.
Oh, how happy are you?
How happy are you? They cover the hope that we have. That's our blessings. And we can expect them in this life and in the life to come as well in eternity. We're going to be happy. We're going to be blessed. Look what he says in verse 11. He says, "And there are going to be great earthquakes in various places, and famines and pestilence. And there will be fearful sights in the great sign from heaven," and which we will look at next week. That sign, because I see a sign back there saying, you know, and I don't want to be a martyr yet. Okay, so we're going to stop here and we'll pick up next week. We're going to pick up at the fearful sights and great signs from heaven. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you. And